In John chapter 2. Okay, we'll read down through verse 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now in verse 10 there, it says, And saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, than that which is worse. So people look at that and say, well, these people had well drunk, so they were already intoxicated, and Jesus made more wine. Well, we'll see why that could not possibly be. So let's look at some points here. First of all, Jesus could not have drunk alcoholic wine at the wedding feast, or he would have been disobeying the Bible commands concerning kings and priests. So Jesus could not have drunk alcoholic wine, or he would have been disobeying the Bible commands concerning kings and priests. Let's look at Proverbs 31:4. Proverbs 31:4. There are so many people that say, well, Jesus made wine, so there's nothing wrong with drinking a little wine. So we're seeing the fallacy of that argument. Proverbs 31:4, it is not for who? Kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Back when President Reagan was president, he was a very conservative president, stood against abortion, but he drank. He drank alcohol at times. And so I wrote to him this verse. And I wrote to him, I think, three times while he was president. And I always received responses from secretaries. But that time, I received no response. It was just before Christmas. And it was interesting because shortly after that, President and Mrs. Reagan both appeared on I wouldn't call it an advertisement, but anyway, it was like a TV spot where they were like warning against drinking and driving. But I never received a response. So I always wondered if he actually read that one. But I gave him this verse right here. Then let's go to Revelation 19:16. The Bible says, And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus is the King of Kings. And Proverbs 31:4 said, It is not for kings to drink wine. Then Isaiah 9:6. All of these proving that Jesus would have never drunk alcoholic wine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So if we go back to Proverbs 31:4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Well, Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Prince of all princes, Prince of Peace. And so he would have never drunk alcoholic wine. So why would he, if it wouldn't be right for him to drink it, why would he make it for anyone else? He wouldn't. So that's number one. Jesus could not have drunk alcoholic wine at the wedding feast, or he would have been disobeying the Bible commands concerning kings and princes. Number two, wine is a generic term in the Bible, a general term for a whole group or class of grape-related products. So the word wine in the Bible doesn't always mean alcoholic. You have to look at the context. Isaiah 65:8. Once again, we're proving here that Jesus did not make alcoholic wine at the wedding feast. Isaiah 65:8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in what? The cluster. And one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. So, grapes still hanging together on the vine in the cluster are called wine, new wine here. Then Proverbs 3:9-10. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, it's not alcoholic right off the vine, so you squeeze the grapes and it's called wine. So once again, wine is a generic term in the Bible. Just because Jesus made wine at the wedding does not mean he made alcoholic wine. So number three, Jesus would not attend a feast where alcoholic wine was being drunk. Jesus would not attend a feast where alcoholic wine was being drunk. Proverbs 23:20. Proverbs 23:20. The Bible says, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Now, we don't really use this terminology much anymore, but when someone was imbibing something, they were drinking it. So a wine bibber does not mean somebody who's drinking alcohol and wearing a bib, like a baby. A wine bibber is someone who is imbibing, drinking wine. So the Bible tells us, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. So people have asked me before, they'll say, why won't you go to a restaurant that serves liquor, but you'll go to Meijer's, the grocery store? The grocery store sells alcohol. Restaurants serve alcohol. What's the difference? Well, I wish there was a grocery store that didn't sell liquor. But the difference is this. It says, be not among wine bibbers. So be not among people who are drinking alcohol. That's what the verse says. So that's why I don't knowingly attend, go to a restaurant that serves alcohol. Okay. And I realize sometimes you have to go places where you don't have a choice, and I'm talking about airplanes. Sometimes you can be on an airplane and people will order alcohol. And, you know, like our missionaries, the Needhams today are in the air headed for Cameroon. And, you know, there might be people that order drinks on the airplane. It seems so crazy to me why an airline would serve drinks to their passengers. I mean, why would you want the possibility of a passenger, being disruptive because drinking alcohol? But so, Jesus would not have attended a wedding feast where alcohol was being consumed because he would have been disobeying this verse, be not among wine bibbers. Now then, Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we're to walk with wise men, not with fools. But then look at Proverbs 20:1. with that thought in mind, we are to walk with wise men, not with fools. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is what? Not wise. So the person who drinks alcohol, the Bible says here, would be a fool. And Proverbs 13, 20 says not to be a companion of fools. So 3 points so far. Jesus could not have drunk alcoholic wine at the wedding feast, or he would have been disobeying the Bible commands concerning kings and princes not to drink alcohol. Number two, wine is a generic term in the Bible, a general term for a whole group or class of grape-related products. So when the Bible says he made wine, it does not mean he made alcoholic wine. It just means he made grape juice. Number three, Jesus would not have attended a feast where alcoholic wine was being drunk, because the Bible says, be not among wine bibbers, don't be among people that are consuming alcohol. Number four, does well drunk in John 2:10 mean intoxicated with alcohol? So let's go back there in John 2 and verse 10. So the governor of the feast is saying, saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. So the question is he saying that at these weddings the normal practice was to wait until the guests were intoxicated and then just bring out the junky wine, the worse stuff? Is that the meaning of this? Well, no. Number one, no. Because the governor of the feast could tell that the wine Jesus made tasted better. So you can't have a governor of the feast, of the wedding feast, who is intoxicated and then commending Jesus about how great his wine was. Liquor dulls the senses. It doesn't make him better. If you had someone come in to your home for a meal, and they were drunk, and they started commending the meal, like, oh, these are the best mashed potatoes and gravy I've ever had, or these are the best carrots I've ever tasted, or this is the best apple pie I've ever had, that wouldn't mean anything if he was drunk. Why? Proverbs 23:35. Proverbs 23:35. The Bible says, this is talking about alcohol here, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So here's telling about how alcohol numbs the senses. So this person has been stricken, sick, beaten, and doesn't remember it. When I felt it not, when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So that's number four. Well drunk in John 2:10 does not mean intoxicated. It just means they had drunk a lot of grape juice. Number five, if Jesus had made alcoholic wine for a bunch of people who were already drunk, then he would have been helping a bunch of drunk people get more drunk. What's wrong with that? 1 Corinthians 6:9. It's very easy to prove that Jesus did not make alcoholic wine, because the people who try to say the context shows that these people were intoxicated, had drunk a lot of it, then he would have been sinning. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor what? Drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, Jesus would have been helping keep people out of heaven if he would have made more alcohol for people who are already intoxicated. And that would be sin. Luke 19:10. Jesus did not come to cause people to go to hell. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, if he made alcohol for people who are already intoxicated, and the drunkard cannot enter the kingdom of God, then Jesus would have been clearly sinning by making alcohol for people who had already consumed a lot of it. Then James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So, and if Jesus sinned, he couldn't be our Savior. So, it's pretty easy to prove Jesus did not make alcoholic wine for people who had already drunk a lot of alcohol. He would have been sinning, which would mean he couldn't be our Savior. Okay, then number 6. Jesus would not have gotten more glory as the sinless Savior by making a bunch of drunk people more drunk. So Jesus would not have gotten more glory as the sinless Savior by making a bunch of drunk people more drunk. John 2:11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine going to a wedding where they're consuming alcohol and the guests are getting intoxicated, but the parents of the groom run out of alcohol, and so he makes more alcohol? Can you imagine a wedding like that now where guests have already drunk a lot of alcoholic wine, and so more alcohol is brought in? Would God be glorified through that? No way. If this miracle of making more alcohol for people who had already drunk a lot of alcohol, if this miracle caused his disciples to believe on him, then why don't they have big beer parties and festivities and see a great revival? That would never happen. And where alcohol flows, God's name is blasphemed. So the disciples believed on him. So that's pretty simple there, that Jesus did not make alcoholic wine. It's just a generic term. He made more grape juice. And the fact of the matter is that usually in a wedding like that where the grape juice would be brought out and they see they're getting low, they'd start watering it down. That was the issue. And so that's why the governor of the feast, when he tasted it, it tasted obviously more rich. Well, when you were young, did your parents ever water down fruit juices for you? Okay, so when you get a little older, you know, if you want grape juice or some other type of fruit juice and you water it down, you know, you think, oh, you know. So that's what the governor noticed was, wow, this grape juice is better. Instead of, you know, they were getting low on it. Where did you get this stuff? You know, this is even better. It's like communion. You take of the grape juice and it's powerful, not intoxicating, it's not fermented, but it's strong. The grape juice is pure. It's not watered down. So that was the issue. Well, next time we'll see, Lord willing, what about Timothy? Because Timothy was told to drink no longer water, but use a little wine for his stomach's sake. So let's look at that, because people bring up that issue as well and say, well, hey, if it's wrong to drink alcoholic wine, then why was Timothy told to drink no longer water? Well, just right on the surface, you can tell that argument is foolish, because it says drink no longer water, but use a little wine. Okay, isn't that the recipe for an alcoholic? You don't drink water anymore, you only drink wine. So that is real easy to figure out. That is a faulty interpretation as well. So any questions on this one? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your